try to visit each section. But just in case we run short on time, the good news is that all the scriptures are in the sheet. Okay, so all the information will be together so that even if we have to stop, you can still go back and look at it on your own. All right? Okay. So I'll just wait for the signal that we're ready to begin. We're good? All right. Praise the Lord. River of Life. I'm glad to be here with this privileged opportunity to share with you today. And the Lord has given me this topic, which I am very excited to begin to visit with you. But just before that, let us just have a brief prayer. Father, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for the wisdom of your Holy Spirit that is here to teach us, give us understanding and impartation, and to shift us, Lord, into the new places where you're taking us in your word. So we ask, oh God, Lord, as we open our hearts to understand that, Lord, that you, oh God, be the teacher and the speaker today, and use your servant for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, as you see, we have a great title, Seek My Face and See My Glory. Amen. There is expectation and hope in that statement. We're going to just proceed straight in with our first section. In your margin beside number one, I'd like for you to write the statement, the call. That's the heading, the call. So we begin with Psalm 27, verse 8. And it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. And Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 reads, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God has issued a call to us, and we answer the call with our hearts. Only with my heart, that's the fill-in, can I truly seek his face and find him. This is a heart issue, not a knowledge issue, not a mind issue, but it's an affair of the heart. God is calling to our hearts. This is deeper. This is intimate. This is personal. Amen? Amen. And God is waiting for an answer. What's my answer? He's asked me to seek his face. So now let's move to number two. In your margin, write as the heading, the blessing. And we've heard this high priestly blessing spoken numerous times here in this church. Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. We read it because it also speaks of his face. And it reads, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, that is the priests, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord, or Yahweh, bless you and keep you. The Lord, Yahweh, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord, Yahweh, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now God has put his name upon me through faith in his son, Jesus Christ, through faith in his name. And the blessing in this new covenant is now upon you and I who believe. And so the Lord wants his face to shine upon me and you. And he's looking upon us with a lifted countenance of favor and grace to bless us and keep us. And give us peace. So, there is a blessing, that's the fill-in, in seeking his face. I want his face to shine on me. I want to dwell in the light of his gaze. And enjoy his lifted countenance or favor. In the light of Yahweh's face, I experience, that's the fill-in, I experience his grace and peace. This is not just about knowledge. We're moving from knowledge that is informational knowledge to experiential knowledge where I know him and he knows me. I don't just know about him, I know him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's go to the next section, number 3, in your margin. You can put this heading, the manifestation. John chapter 14, verse 21 reads, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is the promise. That's the fill-in. Concerning seeking his face. Many times we fear that if we seek him, he might not reveal himself. Am I worthy enough? Have I prayed enough? Have I fasted enough? Have I paid the price? Have I done what is necessary? But the Lord is encouraging you and I with this promise concerning our giving our love to him. All right, and it says here in the next part, here Jesus Christ promises, that's the fill-in, that if I seek him in love, my love will be returned. And he will manifest himself to me. All right, this is not just for the preacher, for the leader, for the prophet, for the specially anointed, for the person with the title, whatever it is. No, this is talking about you and God. You're his child. This is at the personal level for every man, woman, boy, and girl. So let's repeat this declaration of faith together. I am receiving new manifestations of Yahushua Messiah right now. The Anointed One is revealing himself to me right now. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Number four. In your margin, you can write the heading, the treasure. The treasure. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. I love these two verses. Hallelujah. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Those of us born again, we have the treasure within. Jesus dwells in my heart. He dwells there. He dwells in the center. That's the filling. He dwells in the center of my life. My heart is the center of my life. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Hallelujah. So I'm carrying him in my heart, in the center of my life. Now, in the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 2, it talks about the encampment of Israel. In the center of the encampment was the Ark of the Presence. The Ark of the Covenant Presence dwelt in the center, with the priests and then the Levites around, in the center. And then you had three tribes encamped on the north, the south, the east, and the west, sides of the tabernacle. But as an encampment, where was the presence of God? In the center. Hallelujah. In the center. And so, like the ark, which is a special gold-covered inlaid box, my heart is the new treasure box that holds the word of Yahweh God. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? It contained the tablets, right? The law. But now my heart holds the word. Who's the word? Jesus Christ. My heart now carries the word of Yahweh God and carries his presence in the center of my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here's a scripture: for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All right, that's Matthew 6:21. And a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Matthew 12:35. So those scriptures speak about the fact that my heart, it holds the treasure. And we want the good treasure. Amen. And because Jesus is in my heart, I have the goodness. I have the good treasure. All right? His goodness is mine. I become that good man. So, the excellent power of God dwells within me. says we have the treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. The power is not of me, but of him. So right now you can breathe a sigh of relief. I don't have to manufacture this power. I don't have to earn this power. All right, I don't have to keep stoking it up like it's this fire where it might go out and, you know, I got to go and, you know, stir the flames up. No, he's there. That excellent power is within me. Do I acknowledge and embrace that? I think that's the challenge. This little old me, who am I, so forth, will hide and shroud the fact that the excellent power, the treasure, is in this earthen vessel. All right, so it says, God is shining his glory within my heart. He has shown in my heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The face of Jesus Christ is shining in glory within my heart. Hallelujah. So for the filling, I must turn inward. That's the filling. I must turn inward to the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. My heart is a realm and a dwelling place of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, number five. In your margin, you can write this heading, the presence. Now we're shifting back to the Old Testament. We have a situation where in New Covenant, Israel, just 40 days in, has broken the covenant and committed adultery in their covenant marriage to the Almighty God. God is not pleased. And so he said, look, strip your ornaments off. All right. And he's told Moses, I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give the land. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my angel ahead of you. He's going to clear the way. He's going to cast out these inhabitants. You go, take them with you. Go get the land, but I'm not going with you. Because I might consume you along the way. So if you look at verse 3, it says, Exodus 33, verse 3, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. Then we skip to verse 15 of that chapter, and it says, then Moses, he said to him, that is Yahweh, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I. And Moses is mediating. That's why he keeps saying, your people and I. Because God was like, you go, Moses. But Moses is like, your people and I. All right? He says, your people and I, from all people who are upon the face of the earth, we shall be separate. Verse 17, so Yahweh, the Lord, said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you. I know you by name. The Lord says to you, I know you by name. See, we do have the presence. And he's always with us. That's what I'm drawing out from here. So don't get caught up in the stiff neck part. All right, because here we are in the new covenant. We've settled that. All right. And so we have found grace. Embrace the grace. All right. So the key to our existence is his presence with us. Moses said, going without you, no can do. We can't go without your presence. Presence is all. Now here, the Hebrew word translated to English as presence is panim, Strong's Index H6440, and it means face. In the face of, at the face of, before the face of, in the presence of. So when we're in the presence of the Lord, we're before his face. And if his presence does not go, that means that we're not going before his face. We must be before his face. You know what it's like, your children, your grandchildren. Daddy, grandma, did you see me? Did you see me? Did you see me? Did you see what I did? Did you see me? Were you looking? And if you say, oh, I missed it, honey, what's the reaction, right? That presence is here within my heart, right? So to seek his presence is to seek to be before his face, in his face, at his face. To be before the face of Yahweh distinguishes me, that's the feeling, distinguishes me as one that is separate unto him, and one who has found grace in his sight. Holy unto the Lord. That's who you and I are, separated unto him, for him, living for him, through him, to him. Amen. All right, our next numbered section, number 6, in your margin, you can put this heading, the friendship. That's the heading, the friendship. Exodus chapter 33, verses 9 through 11 reads, and it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle. Okay, I got to stop right there. All right, Israel has sinned. And God says, you go, I can't go up in your midst, I might consume you. So what we have is a situation, if you go and you read chapter 33 of Exodus, it says Moses pitched his tent outside the camp. Then it says far from the camp. And he gave his tent the title, the tent of meeting. And he would go to the tent, and the pillar of the Lord's glory cloud would come down, okay? And that's what we're picking up right here, all right? And so it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord, Yahweh, talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped each man in his tent door. So the Lord Yahweh spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but the servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. See, here we've got people worshiping in their tent doors, but they're worshiping from afar. And I believe what the Lord is speaking to us is, no, that's not what I intended. This notion of I'm worshiping from afar, he's so great. Only the man of God can get into that special place. No. So everything about Moses in this passage, I want you to think about concerning yourself as a believer, a child of God. It says, God spoke to Moses face to face. God wants to speak to you face to face. All right. Here Moses has pitched his tabernacle and so forth. This is a picture of those who have broken covenant with Yahweh, those who are outside the camp. They're separated from God. He's outside the camp. God can't be in the camp. But we're not in that picture. Moses is a picture of those steadfast in faith to Yahweh God who can be near the Lord, the children of God. God desires to speak to me face to face as my friend. That's the fill-in. As my friend. Friendship with God is something to embrace. Sometimes we as children of God, we don't always feel like, you know, that's possible or that's readily attainable because we don't feel worthy. We don't feel like, you know, we're in the proper state. We feel like we got to prepare ourselves and do something. But no, God is saying, come on, friend, come to me and let's speak. Let's interact. Let's share face to face. Jesus said, no greater love has a man than to lay down his life for a friend. He laid his life down for you. He has already counted you as a friend. The friendship has already been given. But then the word says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Agree with me, says the Lord, in this friendship. Agree, yes, we have friendship. You ever been with somebody and you talk to them and you're getting along and all of a sudden one of them says, hey, are we friends? And there's a decision point right there. Your next answer will change the whole course of the relationship. You're going to shift into a new level of intimacy or you're going to hold back and be like the people in the tent door worshiping from afar. God's over there and I'm over here. No more of that. That is passed away. Say, that is passed away. Amen. So, also in this passage, we see Joshua or Yahushua, the son of Nun. He is a picture of Yahushua, the son of God, whoever forever remains before the face, the presence of the Father. It says he never would depart the tabernacle, the tent. All right. So my desire is to remain before his face. Like in Psalm 27:4, David says, one thing I've desired of the Lord that I may seek, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, Yahweh, all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire in his temple. Oh, hallelujah. All right, number 7, in your margin, you can write the heading, the glory. Okay, Exodus chapter 33, we continue with verse 18 through 23, and it reads, and he, Moses, said to Yahweh, please show me your glory. And then he said, Yahweh said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of Yahweh before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And Yahweh said, here's a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. All right. Now, if we ask to see his glory, ask to see his glory, and you shall receive. That's the fill-in. Yahweh, the Lord, in grace and compassion, will show you his glory in the degree, that's the fill-in, in the degree that you are able to handle. See, to put this in context, Moses is saying, show me your glory, but he's already been talking with the Lord face to face previously, all right? Yahweh previously talked with Moses face to face, but had not revealed the fullness of his glory to Moses, because that would be too much for him. So he said, I'm gonna come in fullness, but I have to shield you. Put my hand over you while you're in the cleft. And you see my back. You're at the place where you can handle that. You know, if you look when the Lord appeared to Gideon, called him a mighty man of valor, and Gideon, you know, spoke with the Lord and everything. Eventually it ends where Gideon wanted to offer a sacrifice. He brought the sacrifice. He said, I want to see if it's really you speaking. He brings the sacrifice, and the angel of the Lord said, put all that over there on the rock. And then the angel of the Lord took his staff, put it on the sacrifice, and flame shot up from the rock and consumed all the sacrifice. And then the angel of the Lord disappeared. And then Gideon said, oh, I've seen the angel of the Lord. I'm going to die. And then the Lord answered and said, peace, you will not die. Because that angel of the Lord manifestation, that Old Testament epiphany of Christ, was not the fullness which would have consumed him. So I want to dispel this notion of, oh, I can't see his face. He said, no one can see my face and live. No, 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 no. He's going to come, and he's going to give you what you can handle where you are. All right? But remember, it will have its effect. Amen. So like Moses, my experience before the glory of Yahweh's face will increase my desire for him. In response to my desire, Yahweh will show me his goodness, his grace, and compassion. All right, I wonder if you could just indulge me. This is not on your sheet, but Exodus chapter 34 talks about how it was when the Lord did descend and this encounter happened. I just want to read these three verses. Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord, Yahweh. And Yahweh passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord God, Yahweh God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. This shows us the Messiah. We see the Messiah as Savior, full of mercy and grace to us, grace that we receive through faith in him. He's abounding in goodness and truth. He is the truth. And then forgiving iniquity, keeping mercy to thousands, and forgiving iniquity. We have forgiveness of sins through his blood. And then we see him as the judge of all mankind, by no means clearing the guilty. We see the justice of God in him. So when we encounter him, he reveals his nature, his name, who he is, his essence, and all these things. So yeah, please go back and just look at who Yahweh proclaims himself to be to us. I love this passage. It's the essence of him. Amen. All right. So number 8, the heading is the transformation. Okay. So in Exodus 34, here we have Moses after having received the law again on tablets written with the finger of God. All right, verse 29, now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that Yahweh had spoken with him on the mountain. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went to speak with him. So here we see that effortless transformation, that's the fill-in, happens when we dwell before the face of Yahweh and behold him. We are initially unaware, that's the fill-in, of the extent of the change. You go into his presence, but you always leave changed. You're never the same as when you came. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord, he would not have a veil on his face when he was with the Lord. The veil was for those who were estranged to the presence of God, who feared, because when you are not in fellowship, you become aware of just what your state is. Like Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he says, woe is unto me, I'm a man of unclean lips. You are immediately aware of who you are. And it will either bring estrangement, or if you're in fellowship and you're in covenant and the blood of the covenant prevails, brings friendship, endearment, grace, draws you in, pulls you in. All right, and so we're no longer in that old way. We're in the good way now. There's no need to be concerned. Boldly approach the throne of grace to find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. That's where we are. All right, so number 9, it continues. The heading I would put here is my transformation. All right, so now we're shifting back from the Old Testament to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul does a discussion about the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant. All right? And one of the things he talks about is the glory of the Old Covenant that was received by angels, but it was a glory that was a passing away. But now we have the glory of the New Covenant, which exceeds in much more glory and shall not pass away. All right? So that's the context here. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through 18, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness. Say boldness. Boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, because the veil is taken away in Christ, in Messiah, in the Anointed One. Hallelujah. But even to this day, okay, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. On what? On their heart. We said this is a heart affair. Verse 16, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Say, the veil is taken away. There's no more veil between me and the Lord. Right. Verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, unlike Moses, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And I can say to glory, to glory, to glory, to glory, just as by the Spirit, by my Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So in Christ, the veil, that's the filling, the veil that separates man from God's glory is taken away. Thank you, Jesus. There's nothing separating you from God's glory. Just enter in. Hallelujah. By faith, we can behold the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ and be continuously transformed. That's your fill-ins. Continuously transformed into his image from glory to glory. This is an ongoing process. Not an event. It's a process that just keeps going higher and higher and higher. There's no limit mentioned here. There's no limit mentioned here. There's no containment mentioned here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now here, the Greek word that was translated as transformed, all right, being transformed into the same image, was also translated in another passage of Scripture as transfigured in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, when on the mountain Christ was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. That transfigured image is the image that we are transfiguring or transforming into by the Spirit as we with unveiled face behold. Behold the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Our transformation into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ is the work of the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord liberates us to become like him. We don't have to work to take on his image. Instead, we must turn our face to his face and behold his image and contemplate what we are seeing. This is similar to contemplating our own image reflected in a mirror. It is not a quick and passing glance, but a slow and deliberate, that's the fill-in, a slow and deliberate action of intention, that's the fill-in, to comprehend and experience. Let me know if I'm going too fast. But a slow and deliberate action of intention to comprehend and experience the joy of the glory beheld. Now, you know what it's like when you look in the mirror and what you see looks good. What you got on looks good. How you fixed your hair looks good. How you've done your face looks good. Your teeth are shining, they look good. You smile and you look at what you see in the mirror and it's a great experience. And you're not concerned about how much time you spent because you have looked at every little thing because you want to fully take in and comprehend and have a picture in your mind that you can revisit of what you saw. This is how we behold the glory of the Lord. We take our time and fully take in. See, some people don't want to spend time in the mirror because they don't like what they see. They don't want a reminder of what is messed up and what is crooked that can't be made straight. Okay? But when we look into the face of Christ, all is well. All is beautiful. And we're not even aware how we're being changed like him. He's amazing. He's awesome. He's awesome. All right, we made it to number 10. Hallelujah. So, in the margin, this is the heading. It's a little longer. Attaining the fullness of the glory. So, in these two verses, we're going to just mention Enoch. Some people might say, I don't know why he's in Scripture. What happened to him didn't happen to anybody else, or did it? That's the question. Or did it? All right? I just know that if I keep beholding the image of the Lord, I keep getting transformed. All right? So what do we know about Enoch? Genesis 5, verses 23 and 24. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. We've already mentioned friendship, the face-to-face. He walked with him. He talked with him face-to-face. He beheld him. And he was not, for God took him. That's Old Testament, New Testament. Give us more understanding and interpretation. In the hallmark of the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, Enoch is mentioned. Verse 5 of Hebrews 11, by faith Enoch was taken away. By faith. I'm walking and I'm beholding him by faith. Release your faith and behold. Blessed is him who believes without having first seen. Go looking to see. Jesus said, seek and you'll find. He who keeps on seeking finds. He who keeps on knocking, the door is open to him. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. It pleases the Lord to seek his face, to be his friend, to dwell with him, to love him with all our heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you seek him, he will reward you. If you seek his face, you will see the glory. It's assured. And so, there's a scripture that says that immortality and life has been brought to light in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Death has been abolished in Jesus Christ. Death has no dominion over him or us that are in him. He holds the keys of death and hell. Here we see Enoch not subject to death. We can go to the Lord who is life. Behold his glory, no more bondage to the fear of death, just living and embracing the ever-living one and abounding in his life. I've already been crucified with him, and I live, and it's not I, but Christ that lives. So we have one more set of declarations here. Let's just say these all together. By faith in him, I will walk with God as his friend. I will bring pleasure to Yahweh God by believing that he is. All right, he's the I am, believing that he is. I will receive the rewards of diligently seeking God. I will let God take me unto himself. I shall experience life now in him, who is life. I will experience the ecstasy of oneness with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Oh Lord, in light of all that you have shown us, now we open our hearts to you. In faith, we turn to you, releasing our love to you, knowing that we shall experience your goodness, your mercy, your grace. You will have compassion on us. You have compassion on whom you will have compassion. You'll be gracious to whom you will be gracious. And so, Lord, we come before your throne of grace to look upon you, to behold you, to look into your eyes and tell you that we love you. We embrace you as friend, not just Lord and Savior, but friend. We like you. We like you. We enjoy you. We take pleasure in you. We delight ourselves in you. You are the joy and the desire of my heart. Thank you, Lord, for being my friend. Thank you, Lord, for showing and manifesting yourself to me. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to me face to face, heart to heart, love to love. I worship you. You're so awesome. I worship you. No one compares to you. No one is likened unto you. Greater are you than all the treasures of this life. And even if a man gave all his wealth, it would be not worth the pricelessness of your love. Thank you, God. We give thanks for you affirming us, for you accepting us, for you loving us. We praise you for the great things that you've done and who you are. Heal us, Lord, in your presence. Take away the thorns, the piercings, the cuts, the bruises, the wounds in our hearts, hearts that are fragmented or shattered or wounded or broken. You dwell in this heart of ours and heal, O Lord. Heal us, set us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We're free from regrets, free from pains, free from trouble and fear. In your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Anointed One, we thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen.